T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Promoting America's values and sovereignty.
I was elected to represent the citizens of Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Exposing the lies, exaggerations.
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
And propaganda of the loony left.
And when Donald Trump says to the world, well, we're going to negotiate a better deal. I mean, that's like O.J. Simpson saying he's going to go out and find the real killer.
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
Interesting.
Vince, along the lines of Ilhan's logic, it's un-American of you to lock your doors. I need your stuff for a better life. No, vote for me. I want to be president of the toilet bowl. Vote for me. Free turds for everyone. Where's your headquarters? Flushing Meadows? Just asking.
Welcome, Brown.
Oh, my goodness. Vince, I was wondering if you had dementia and had no function left, would you want to be kept alive? Would you want to burn your family? Or do you think it could just be the drug and insurance industry perpetuating you and your family's pain and suffering for profits? Well, that's an interesting question. I think this, I'm not sure what the context is for your question. Maybe you can clarify that. Vince, I'm torn. As a conservative, I want minimal government interference in my life, but AOC has got to be the biggest moron ever wasting her time with this legislation she's trying to pass about studying mushrooms with medical benefits of other illegal drugs, pander to hippie liberals. You know, it's really weird, isn't it? We're going all kinds of directions in weird these days. So I understand where you're coming from. Do the Democrats in the House have a timeline as to when they will address the issues of the country? They feel like they have. You know, and they're passing things that will never go through the Senate, by the way. So it's really kind of a waste of time. They can do their little virtue signaling and, hey, we've passed all these wonderful things for the American people. It ain't going nowhere. Ain't going nowhere. Not even going to go through the Senate. Much less make it to the president's desk. It's just not going to happen. But this is how it works when you're a Democrat. All you have to do, you see, it's all based on your intentions. That's all that matters for Democrats. Because you're driven by good intentions, no matter how misguided you are. You get the credit for that. So-and-so really cares. Oh, that's nice. Just wonderful. Another story I did not get to in the first hour. Yes, a good news story. This one I also like. Do you ever get frustrated watching how much money drives an agenda, especially a bad agenda? You have the right amount of money. You can buy your way into pretty much anything and everything, especially when it comes to colleges and universities. You know, get your name on a building and you kind of set the agenda. Heck, this also happens with churches, too. You ever seen that where you got these big donors in the church and pretty much whatever they want, they get, including a change of leadership if that's what they want? You know what I'm talking about. Get a load of this. You're familiar with all the legislation across the country dealing with the subject of life. Here's what's happened at the University of Alabama. The Board of Trustees has voted to return a $21.8 million gift from Hugh Culverhouse Jr., the school's biggest donor. In fact, they're going to take his name off the law school. How is that for bold? Over $21 million. This move comes after Culver House urged businesses and prospective students to boycott the university in the state over Alabama's new abortion law. So let me get this straight. So this guy who's given money to the school is calling on businesses and prospective students to boycott the university because he doesn't like what's going on with this abortion law. See, I've never understood people. Well, I do understand people like this. They are evil, is what they are. They basically are trying to harm their own state. I mean, do you remember this happened with so-called House Bill 2 here in the state of North Carolina? You remember that over the stupid bathroom bill that was passed here in Mecklenburg County? Mecklenburg County started this nonsense. And because of that, the state acted, and then everybody piled on the state. And they were boycotting, and there were people calling on boycotts against their own state. If you're an idiot if you crap in your own cage. But this is what a lot of people do. They take a dump in their own cage. Why would you do that to yourself? Do you do that in your family, too? I mean, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. Any case, so the University of Alabama, the Board of Trustees voted to return the money. The transaction to return the funds processed Friday morning. It's also going to return any accrued interest. Last fall, Culver House pledged to donate a total of $26.5 million over 4 years. Here's what they said. The action taken by the board was a direct result of Mr. Culver House's ongoing attempts to interfere in the operations of the law school. This was the only reason the board voted to remove his name and return his money. And there's actually a picture of them taking his name off of that building. Good. More power to them. The only thing I think they could have done to take a further step on this is maybe on at the front of the university is to put a picture and a big middle finger right next to it. I know that's awful, isn't it? I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying.
Where's the nice Vince that was here earlier?
Vince went away. This is evil Vince. I've taken over the microphone. Now I'm going to advocate for vengeance and revenge. I'm just kidding. Culver House issued a statement Friday in which he renewed his call for students to protest and reconsider their educational options.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
In Alabama, he doubled down. I expected this response from UA. I will not allow my family's name to be associated with an educational system that advocates a state law which discriminates against women. What an idiot. Disregards established federal law and violates our Constitution. What federal law? Killing babies is federal law? What kind of a moron is this? We don't need your freaking money, is what the university has now said to him, which is exactly what people like this need to hear. People like this think they can run the world with their money, and they can get everybody to do their bidding. I appreciate the fact you've got a university. that's not jumping at all. They don't care. And the fact that they're rubbing his name, scratching his name off of that building, that speaks volumes about character. It's time. It's past time, especially when you're talking about an issue like life. And these are the same kinds of decisions that were made back during the days of slavery, where people who were on the side of freedom made brave choices. And now the University of Alabama, they're making a similar brave choice.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Stand back. I feel the talk show coming on. How'd you like my Vince Coakley impression in the first segment there? Not bad, I thought. I've been working on it. Next hour, we'll do Groucho Marx. But actually, it's only me, Jim Bohannon. In fact, that's how you can look me up in the white pages. It's only him, Jim Bohannon, filling in for Vincent this morning. And glad to be with you today. Got a few goody things to talk about out there as 10:20 has now come and gone. So if you had big plans for 10:20, you blew it by 13 seconds. Sorry about that. The campaign is officially underway. The Trump campaign, the re-election campaign, is officially underway. One thing I would note right off the bat is the timing here. This is June the 19th of 2019. And, of course, we've already had the platoon of Democrats, what, two dozen Democrats, something like that, who are running. Just as a matter of comparison, John Kennedy, when he ran for president in 1960, declared, that is to say, announced his campaign and began his campaign in January of 1960. He wasn't doing anything in 1959. Oh, he was thinking about it and certainly making plans, but he made no official declarations, campaign appearances, anything like that. And this all goes back to Jimmy Carter. Because back in 1976, well, actually 75 and 74, Carter, who had served his time as governor of Georgia, thought, you know, why couldn't I be president? Nobody else had ever heard of Jimmy Who. That was his name for a while there, Jimmy Who. And he virtually camped out in Iowa. Sound like somebody familiar to you, like John Edwards, maybe? Although it didn't work for him. But, yeah. He camped out there, and nobody else. That field that year was big. There were a lot of Democrats running names. They didn't. Their last name wasn't Who, and they didn't care a thing about Carter. And all of a sudden, whoa! Who was this guy? The peanut farmer with the funny accent, and of course, that guy happened to be the next president of these United States. That's who he was. And so, since that time, there's never an on-campaign time out there. I guarantee you, there are people right now in this country, right now, who are discreetly making plans, talking to possible future staffers about 2024. I'll guarantee it. It is being discussed. In fact, I can give you two of their names, Cruz and Rubio. Pence. But be that as it may, the president got it all kicked off last night. Big rally in Orlando, Florida, after the Orlando newspaper started out with a very snarky comment about how they could not support the president's reelection, and somebody asked how the newspaper in Orlando could make a declaration now of not supporting President Trump when they don't even know who his opposition was. And the Orlando paper's reply was that it would be pointless to pretend that we could support President Trump regardless of who the opposition is. So that pretty much set the tone for that. But the president, very cheery. Goodness knows. Ivanka, Mike Pence. It was a big rally. No question about that. And it's time for round two, was how Mike Pence put it at the big reelection rally. And the New York Times, in their typical bipartisan and eminently fair way, compared President Trump to an aging rock star. And they did concede that aging rock stars can fill arenas, just as the president filled this one. But the whole tenor of the piece was, what have you done for us lately? What's new? And, of course, that ignores the fact that if, in fact, you have set all kinds of economic records, maybe running on your record ain't a bad idea. Just a thought there. Just a thought. It's 1024 here on this Wednesday morning, hump day. Jim Bohannon in for Vince Coakley. And so the coverage automatically right off the bat has been pretty negative. Now, I'll grant you that the president did start out with a great deal of golden oldies, a lot of talk about Hillary Clinton, for example. But let's face it, he did look ahead to Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, and the Sleepy Guy, and a few things like that. Interesting that the crowd chanted, "Build That Wall," which, of course, was one of the original rationales for the Trump candidacy in the first place, aside from draining the swamp, was to move forward and try to protect our sovereignty, to have this country decide who gets in, why, for what reasons, for how long. And we'll be talking a bit more about immigration before the program is over today, but to suffice it to say that it was a gathering of golden oldie phrases, pretty much. It was a nostalgia tour for Trumpism. And again, if you like a robust economy, what's not to like, huh? What's not to like? All right. Let's see here. You know, the texters out there. Wasn't Vince just on the radio for the first 15 minutes of the show? No, that was me doing my Vince impression. Okay? Want to be sure here. Let's see here. Jim, hashtag Cruz Candace 2024. Well, okay. We're already selecting running mates now. Okay. My general thinking about the way this campaign has started off right now is that it has started off with a lot of things that look golden oldie. Biden right now still riding high. But I got to say this about Joe Biden. First of all, I don't really care for the stuff about Sleepy Joe. He never struck me as particularly sleepy. I don't question his intellect. Dummy? I don't really think so. His judgment? Yeah, I got lots of questions about Joe Biden's judgment, but not his intellect. But the one thing that I find most interesting is that he started out in a general election campaign mode. He has ignored his opposition, which, of course, is going to be coming to a crashing end a week from now during the first Democratic debates, because I'll guarantee you his opponents are not going to let him forget them. Okay. And if Joe Biden really has visions of riding his way to the Oval Office by name recognition alone, then the Joe Biden...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Biden administration is going to be remembered right up there with the Jeb Bush administration, in that it ain't going to happen. But what I found particularly interesting, the vaunted Joe Biden moderation. First of all, a survey that was done, this was an adding up of the various groups that score members of Congress. You get a given vote on an issue, and the American Conservative Union will give you a high score if you're a conservative. The Americans for Democratic Action will give you a high score if you're a liberal. And so by votes in the U.S. Senate, this was in 2007, the U.S. Senate was ranked, by their voting records, most conservative to most liberal. And I recall the most liberal senators in 2007, by their voting records. Number three was Senator Barack Obama of Illinois. Only number three, bronze medal. Number two was Bernie Sanders, the independent socialist of Vermont. And the most liberal senator by his voting record in 2007 was the senior senator from Delaware, Joe Biden. Now, people are asking if, in fact, he is too moderate. Well, of course, Joe is taking care of that by making giant leaps to the left. He's so sorry he ever opposed abortion. That was sort of youthful indiscretion, I guess, on his part. First of all, he was never that moderate, actually. That's number one. Number two, I don't think that it's such a bad thing to be the moderate in this race. I got to be honest with you. I don't think it's that bad a thing. I am not at all convinced that the Democratic Party electorate has gone that far to the left that fast. I don't think so. The beautiful people think so. The advocates, the activists, they all think so. Now, we'll talk some more about it here. Jim Bohannon here for Vince Coakley on this Wednesday morning. And we look at the kickoff of the general election campaign. Ignore all those primaries, of course. All right. Stand by. We got more to come on the Jim Bohannon version of the Vince Coakley program. It's 1029.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
All right. I want to remind you, at least some of you, of something here. For those of you listening in Charlotte, WBT's Sky Show 2019 is presented by Click It or Ticket, a division of the Governor's Highway Safety Program. That'll be July 4th at BB&T Ballpark with the Charlotte Knights versus the Norfolk Tides. And this will feature the best fireworks show in the Southeast, brought to you by Fox 46 Charlotte. And, of course, the fireworks soundtrack will be aired live on WBT Radio. There'll be special free pregame street festival starting at 2 p.m. and free flags from Condor Flags. The street festival will include kids' crafts, live music, and food, and they'll even have the mobile kitchen with live demos and samples. So thanks to Corona Premier for that. And don't forget to check out all of the Sky Show details at WBT.com/Sky Show. And for those of you listening over WORD, take I-85 and drive north. Okay. Time now, 23 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Vincent Coakley Electric Radio Program, inserted weekday mornings straight up your ear canal. And Jim Bohannon sitting in for Vince on this particular morning as we have been talking a bit about the election campaign that has now formally kicked off with all those Democrats running, and President Trump made it official to the surprise of absolutely no one last night in Orlando, with a snarky non-endorsement by the Orlando newspaper and a snarky coverage by, a number of papers. The one that struck me, I guess, the most was the vaunted New York Times, the newspaper of record. And, of course, if you're the newspaper of record, I guess you want to make references to aging rock stars who, of course, were all heard on records. And that's how the New York Times billed the Trump campaign debut as an aging rock star. Well, it could have been worse, I guess. I guess they couldn't find anything worse to say about him. But that was the general thrust of it. Nothing new, ignoring, of course, the fact that if things have been going pretty well, at least in terms of the things within the president's power, then why should you not beat the drum for what has already occurred? And the economy is certainly a case in point. Now, I will be the first to admit that as a general rule, presidents get too much credit for good economies and too much blame for bad economies. The fact is, presidents don't have that much control over the economy. If they did, there would never, ever, 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 ever be a recession. In fact, the Federal Reserve Board chairmen have a greater say-so, but even they can't control an economy. The Fed can raise or lower interest rates, and this is a lot like, I guess, using a joystick, let's say, like you would control a drone, a controller box, to try and park a 100,000-ton ocean liner between the two canoes. There's a lot of wiggle room there and a lot of potential collateral damage. But be that as it may, since we were going to blame the president for a lousy economy, regardless of whether it was his fault, it's only fair that the president asked for and receive credit for a good economy. And it has been a phenomenal economy. Record lows in unemployment. The job creation, I think the president said 16,000 new jobs per month. Yeah, there was a brief hiccup recently. And in fact, the Federal Reserve Board's meetings this week will be to discuss possibly lowering interest rates a bit just to make sure that the economy doesn't do a pratfall. And of course, there's the issue of tariffs and trade, more about which in a moment. But suffice it to say, the president got a lot to brag about. I mean, let's face it, when you hear people for office talking about the future only, especially if they're the incumbent, then you are talking about people who haven't got much to talk about. Let's talk about the future. Why? Well, I've had 2.5 years in office and haven't done a darn thing. People who have nothing to talk about look ahead to the future. People who have accomplishment look back at their accomplishments. That's fair for the president to do that. You can like him or you can hate him, but you can't say he's had a bad economy. And let's face it, it's the economy stupid, the famed watchwords of James Carville from the 1992 Bill Clinton campaign. It usually is, barring a major overseas crisis or something that's unusual. The economy always, you should pardon the verb, trumps other issues. It just does. People care about bread and butter issues. So on paper, that means that this president ought to be doing pretty well when it comes to the polls. And, of course, we've seen all of the polls out there that indicate that right now the president's not doing so well. A few thoughts.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's about those poll numbers. First of all, the president saying that it looks like there's something wrong at Fox News. I mean, Fox News is not supposed to pretend that polling data doesn't say what it says. I mean, it's not their job to make stuff up. If there's negative numbers or other information like that, hey, their job is supposed to be let the chips fall where they may. Now, you can put it in context. You can say this is hard to understand, or that people are treating pollsters the way they treated pollsters in 2016, and that is more than a few people out there who really support Trump and plan to vote for Trump and maybe even vote for Trump again are people who simply don't want to tell a pollster, even anonymously, that they are going to support the president. Let's face it, there are more than a few people out there who have been badly bitten by their support for the president. There have been friendships that have been broken. There have been marriages that have broken up over support for President Trump. So it's not surprising that even in confidence, in the anonymous polling data context, people are still reluctant to admit that they're going to support the president. Something else, a lot of things can change between now and, 17 months from now? That's a long way. In politics, that's forever. The economy could get even stronger. It could go in the dumper. There could be a major overseas crisis. Things could continue to go along fairly smoothly. And let's face it, things are fairly smooth, even with Iran and China and Mexico. So you just don't know. I wouldn't worry about polls like this early on. It doesn't really matter. It's down the road that counts. And right now, of course, don't forget the president is essentially running against generic Democrat. That's his opponent, generic Democrat. All Santa Claus, all free goodies, and no personal problems. Well, generic Democrat will not be on the ballot in November of 2020. There will be an actual name. In many cases, when you talk about senators with an actual voting record, with actual personal foibles and flaws and faults and warts and all, and we'll see how the president does against a real, live, fallible human being. That's going to be the interesting part. Running against generic Democrat again. Hey, I have free goodies for you. And let's not forget, for many people, the only issue when they vote is how many goodies, free goodies, are going to be passed along to me. Checking some of the texters out there this morning. Let's see, how about Don Jr. in 2024? Well, that's a possibility. We already mentioned the Cruz Candace Owens, the young black female, which would be a nice balance to that ticket here. How about Don Jr. in 2024? I don't think so. I mean, let's face it, at least in terms of dynasties, at least George W. Bush was governor of Texas. Don Jr. really hasn't done anything yet. I'm not demeaning him as a person, but I mean, a little track record is a terrible thing. Any experience at all, that's a bad thing? Whatever. Let's see here. Jimbo, I don't trust polls. The guy who could fill five 20,000-seat arenas all at one time is supposed to lose to one of these Democratic clowns. We'll talk some more about polls and their reliability. But this is Jim Bohannon for Vince Coakley. And goodness knows there's 10:45 is our official time. So stick around. We got more to come.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
I believe we should chat since I'm sitting here at this little microphone and you're sitting out there. And let us do so, starting with Denise in Columbia. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. Hello?
What's on your mind, Denise?
Yeah.
You're on the radio.
I'm a Trump voter.
Mm-hmm.
No one dislikes Hillary Clinton and the way she misused her position as Secretary of State more than I did. So I was very happy to hear last night, and very happy to hear the 2016 campaign with the lock her up, because I think that everyone should be treated fairly and equally under the law, no one above it. So it disappointed me incredibly when 2 weeks after Trump was elected, he decided, his spokesperson Kellyanne Conway went twice, once on TV, once on the White House lawn, to say that he had no interest in prosecuting her. And the quote from Trump was, "I don't want to hurt the Clintons. She went through a lot and she suffered greatly." I was disappointed that we had a wall not paid for by Mexico, but had to go hat in hand to Congress to front the money while we found it one way or another from Mexico. So we still don't have a wall. I'm disappointed that a Trump tax cut, which stimulated the economy for sure, added another $1 trillion. He said he was going to pay for this by closing loopholes. And apparently, the ones I was following, the 1031 exchange, the carried interest, the loophole for college educators to send their children to college for free with no income on the incoming kind, none of these loopholes I was following got closed to the, and I can see that by adding $1 trillion, we must not have closed many of them. So I'm a little disappointed and kind of shocked that he would list these things as accomplishments.
I share your misgivings, honestly, Denise, just to look over them in terms of Hillary. The statement, and I recall that he had no interest in hurting the Clintons. It's not a question of hurting people. It's a question of, as you put it, equal justice under the law. She did things. I had a lower level security clearance than hers, although it was over top secret. If I had done a tenth of what she did, I'd still be busting rocks at Fort Leavenworth. She was not treated equally. And James Comey was a complete liar for suggesting that no reasonable prosecutor would have prosecuted her. Yes, they would have. You could have found dozens of them all over the country. As for Mexico and the wall, first of all, we are not going from no border control at all to 100%. We always had some border control, and we have, under Trump, added to that. We're not going from 0 to 100. It's more like going from 30 to, say, 50. In terms of Mexico paying for it, I never took that seriously. I don't care who pays for it. I'm happy to pay for it. If we can, for example, tax all that hard currency being sent down to Mexico by illegals in this country, well, tax it. But I don't think you would ever find the Mexicans, quote, paying for the wall. That was just so much Trump hyperbole. In terms of deficits, Donald Trump has always been opposed to trade deficits. Budget deficits have never been his concern. And I always said that there will be a massive type of infrastructure deal, because the Republicans and Democrats are certainly bipartisan, Denise, on the issue of whether we should spend money we don't have. And unfortunately, we will. So I think your points are well taken. That having been said, Denise, I looking at the Democratic field, I have no doubt I'll be voting for Donald Trump in November of 2020. And thank you for your call. Let's go to Richard in Lake Wiley. Hello there, Richard.
Good morning, Jimbo. Hey, Denise made some very good points there. I might add that, this tax cut that went through, 80% of it went to corporations, and the recipients of the tax cuts were foreign investors, two-thirds of them. So this money went to people, investors overseas and not Americans. Where the tax cut should have went was to blue-collar workers. Trump dropped the ball on infrastructure. Quite frankly, I'm disappointed in Donald Trump. You know, he basically has folded like a cheap lawn chair on many of these issues that he went out in 2016 and was trumpeting from the dais on his campaign stops. And quite frankly, last night when I watched him, I had to turn it off because it looked like the same circus act. He looks like a ringleader in a circus. And I basically lost it on Trump. I don't think I'm voting for Trump this next go round.
Well, let me ask you this: for whom would you vote?
Absolutely.
No. For whom?
When
I assume you're not going to waste your vote. You're not going to waste your vote in 2020, so you're going to vote for somebody. If you can't vote, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I may wind up, if I can't vote for Trump, I'll vote against the Democrat, which means I will put an X by the name of Donald Trump.
I'm waiting for the Schultz guy from Starbucks to come out and run. I like where he came from, his roots. He came from out of the projects, built a nice company, put a lot of people to work, gave them health care, health insurance. He really gave a square deal to his workers. But, hey, let me hit something real quick on the Federal Reserve meeting coming up here this afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Volcker, he had a book out, and he was perplexed that the Federal Reserve chairs, not only Powell but the other leaders around the world, have this arbitrary target of maintaining a 2% inflation target. And, my God, if they don't hit the 2% inflation target, then they got to manipulate the policy. That strikes me as the Federal Reserve basically taking purchasing power from people who have, you know, savings accounts or, you know, checking accounts, where you're basically losing purchasing power every year by 2%. You know, what do you think about this? Does that strike you as odd? It's just started here the last couple years. You know, the QE, the quantitative easing that they had, 3-4 years ago, they put $4 trillion, they bought bonds, $4 trillion, they have it on the balance sheet, and they decided they're not going to go ahead and put those back on the market. So they're sitting on, you know.
All right, well, let me get, in the time we have left here, Charles, let me give you my thoughts about that. Historically, since Alan Greenspan, at least, the Fed has been very hyper to the whole notion of too much inflation. You do not want an economy that lacks any inflation at all, because there's a fine line between an inflationary economy and a deflationary or recessionary economy is a very fine line indeed. And personally, I don't happen to want an economy that is going downhill. So a little bit of inflation, I have never viewed as being a particularly bad thing, in all honesty. All right, Jim Bohannon sitting in here for Vincent Coakley today, and a pleasure to have all of you with us. We'll be back. It's now 4 before 11.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.